Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation.
Hey guys, I want to welcome you to our episode this week of More Than That, where we dive a little bit deeper into the sermon and just discuss. And so this week you got to hear from one of my really, really preaching heroes. and so he is Matt Luloyan, and he's a pastor in Harrisburg, and who's really done so well in pastoring even churches in central PA in our network X29. So Matt actually introduced our series on the Psalms that we're going through in the summer, and he did an exceptional job. He preached on Psalm 3, and it was amazing. And so we usually just take some questions, but before we even dive into any questions, we always ask this one question. If you had 10 more minutes, 15 more minutes, what could you have covered when you're looking at that subject of fear in Psalm 3?
Yeah, well, really, really good to be with you on Sunday, Raphael, and all of the City Church family, and good to be with you again today. I just was blessed and encouraged just by actually getting to worship with your church family. Having been up to the building a couple times and gotten to hang out with Raph at Alabaster and a couple spots in Williamsport over the years, it was just good to be there for my first ever City Church worship service and get to sing some hymns with you guys on a hymn sing Sunday. That was great. And love the liturgy you guys do and taking the Lord's Supper together. So just grateful for that time and to be with you all. But yeah, you know, that's a great question, man. I'm gonna totally steal that for our sermon podcast, you know, B-side we call it. What else would you have preached on if you had 15 more minutes? The thing that comes immediately to mind for me is prayer.
Yeah.
So Psalm 3, you know, David is exercising faith. He's reminding himself of who God really is. He's reminding himself of what God has done for him. And then toward the end of Psalm 3 there, verse 7, he starts to pray. And the prayer actually resembles that war cry. You know, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God.
Yeah.
So I just got to, like, essentially say that on Sunday. I didn't get to unpack at all more the idea of prayer and how prayer is part of how we combat fear. So if I had 15 more minutes, man, I would have gone a lot deeper into prayer specifically, how critical it is. Even prayer as warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could even draw some parallels here pretty immediately to Ephesians chapter 6 and spiritual warfare and how prayer itself is so critical to that.
Yeah.
To first of all, recognizing that the enemies are not, you know, so in David's case, you've got flesh and blood enemies. You've got Absalom, his son, and his followers, the army that's going to pursue David to take his life, try to hunt him down and kill him. So he's got flesh and blood enemies. That causes fear.
Yeah.
Often in our lives and in our current time and place, it's not so much flesh and blood enemies that are chasing us down. And certainly, you know, for most of us, at least in central Pennsylvania in the 21st century, you know, we're not at risk of being put to death on any given day, especially for our faith or something like that. So I love what Paul says in Ephesians 6, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And those lies, which are so much the cause of fear, you know, David's being, there's no salvation for you in God, the lie that he's hearing from people. I mean, that is, you know, in his case, it was an actual person saying it to him, but that is the voice of the enemy, of Satan, bringing this condemnation and lying to him about who God really is and his promise to be for David. And so the warfare of prayer, the war cry of like, arise, God, come to my aid, help me crush my enemies. Short little bursts of prayer, because often when we're overwhelmed by fear, you know, we're not in the mood to have this long, flowery, you know, flowery liturgical kind of prayer. We're just like, we need some, you know, we need some like quick dagger, you know, arrows just fired off real fast. Like, God, help me. Amen. You know, God, arise. Yeah. God, save me. So just having some of those, you know, very honest, direct, blunt warfare type prayers in your pocket to pray when you're consumed by fear. And just even doing that starts to reset your perspective and remember, oh, God hears my prayer. God is there. He's the one who's on his holy hill. It just starts that it combats that lie and starts to be it is an exercise of faith, even to cry out to God, help me. That's faith. That's the beginning of faith. And so it starts to combat fear in that way. So I would have wanted to go in a lot more to, you know, prayer and, how much we neglect that, how often when we are consumed by fear, it often points to and reveals a prayerlessness in our own lives.
Yeah. And that's so important to really think of in the fact that, like, we're reading. So Psalm 3 is a prayer. Mm-hmm. And it's a hymn, but it's also a prayer. So the Psalms are actually just showing us even a way to, this is how you pray. And maybe even just like, I like how, like, it's a short burst, but yet it's so packed. I mean, he's going beast mode and he's like, God, go beast mode on them. Like,
yeah,
I just like was imagining, like, if just the Psalms will not allow you to read them without imagination, without engaging. Arise, O Lord. It's like, you know, you have stricken my enemy on the jawbone and you have crushed the teeth. Like, it's like you're watching. I like watching MMA. So,
yeah, man.
This is like,
it's like,
this is not an exhibit fight.
No, this is God curb stomping his enemies, man. I mean, he is busting the teeth out of their mouth. You know, that's like it's a vivid picture, man.
Yeah.
It's a vivid picture.
And also as well, like, just it's, there's no way like you can read that and not, who is it? Tramp Along Man says that when you read all Psalms, should be read as Christian, they should be read in light of Christ, as coming from the mouth of Christ or about Christ. So like I was reading that, like, and just thinking, man, like, if I'm reading this and I'm looking at just the significance of resurrection, like, and the significance of, man, like, what kind of savior am I calling? Because, like, obviously, like, you know, I love the connection you made, how salvation belongs, and the fact that, like, it is God's king who's going to do the saving. So I just loved just even thinking about, like, when I'm saying, arise, O Lord, it's obviously it's not that God is sleeping, but it's just like, it's like, act now. But when I know that when you act, man, like, better than Samson, you're gonna literally just, like, better than any strong man. I know you're gonna be, like, every punch you throw is gonna connect, and every and it's gonna, somebody's losing some teeth.
Dude, yeah. No, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so it's...
And that if...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's right on, man. And that if, you know, that's his hope. His hope is in God. His hope is not in himself, you know. He needs God to rise up and act for him. The story there, too, you know, if you get a chance to read that whole account there in 2 Samuel 15 through 19, it's crazy how this actually plays out. Is the immediate answer to David's prayer comes not from, like, a military might force kind of way. It comes from David had, like, embedded, like, a sleeper agent in Absalom's, like, advisor team.
Yeah.
And he had, the guy was actually going to, I'm totally drawing a blank on his name right now. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but he was going to leave with David. And David said, no, go back, try to give counsel as God leads you to Absalom, even as he comes. And so Absalom comes, and then there's this other very trusted counselor who actually had been part of the conspiracy and helped put Absalom on the throne. His word was like regarded as like directly from the mouth of God. And he said, rightfully so, hey, David's weary. He's exhausted. He's, you know, despairing. As soon as Absalom got into the city, that advisor was like, go get him, like go tackle him now. And this other kind of sleeper agent guy was like, no, we should wait. We should make sure we get enough numbers to go get him and do it the right way.
Yeah.
It was bad counsel, but Absalom listened to the bad counsel. If he listened to the other guy, his co-conspirator, he would have probably gotten to David.
Yeah.
So even like God's answer to prayer and the arise, O Lord, was like confounding the wisdom of the counselors there and making Absalom trust in bad counsel, which spared David. And then there was a military showdown, but David's army prevailed over Absalom's.
Yeah.
Even how God's gonna answer and respond, he's gonna put down his enemies.
Mm-hmm.
What do we see of that in our lifetime or in any present moment? Maybe very little. Like maybe it just looks like, you and I were talking a little bit, and I'm excited to have you down here in August preaching on Psalm 73. You know, where you see the wicked prospering, but then you recognize that their foot is about to slip.
Yeah.
Like their foot is just on the precipice of slipping. So maybe it looks like that. These war cry kind of prayers, however much we experience of it in a given moment, they look forward to, especially reading them in light of Christ.
Yeah.
Like Trump and Roman, you know, they look forward to that picture of Christ in Revelation, the returning triumphant king who is then putting all enemies under his feet.
Yeah. That is so good. That is so good. Man, there is also just like something that you covered. And on Monday, yesterday, that blew up on my face. So I'm working out and I'm just doing my thing. I do CrossFit. And while I was, usually like it's, when I'm working out, I have no time to think. But finally, it kicked in. And I just really realized, I was like, eyes and lies, eyes and lies.
Hmm.
What is it that you see? And what is it? Because that's what you covered. And then what are the lies you're believing? And I just remember, like, I just handed in, like, almost 120 pages of writing. And you know, it was a hectic week. My wife was not... just had surgery and but you know, like I had all my material, everything was, you know, I'm just doing this thing, but I just realized like, well, what is it that's impeding my progress? What is it that like, and there's a lot of times when I have a lot of things ready, but then it just still feels like a car that has its handbrake on, or you know what I mean, that emergency brake on, where it's like, yeah, you're moving, but you're not moving. And I just realized, like, yesterday was the day when I was just talking to God about my fears. And one of them is, I realized was like, oh, you're scared to fail.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just like,
yep.
And so I was like, whoa, okay, where'd that come from? And starting to just like dive deep into the fears in terms of like, so it's easier then to put off an assignment or to do things and like just to avoid it because you're just scared to fail instead of actually diving in and doing. So it was just very helpful for me to kind of process and just to see like how fear is not something that you just deal with once.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you're perpetually, basically, like to be human is to entertain fears at almost, I don't know, like at many levels, multiple times, and could you kind of talk into that? Like,
yeah, Yeah, man, that's good. And I'm right there with you, man. Fear of failure, fear of, you know, futility, you know, that my efforts just won't make any difference.
Fear of success. Yeah.
Fear of success. Like, what happens if this goes well and we got to deal with some of the I mean, there's no end to things that cause fear. There's always a level of irrationality in it. It's usually, that's where the lies are so deceptive. It's usually somewhat close to the truth, but it's a twist of it. So, and you know, depending on your personality and your overall kind of bent there, but so, like, you know, I think of Proverbs, right? Where, like, the lazy man is, doesn't do anything because he says, well, there might be a lion in the streets.
There's a
fear of, like, I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to get attacked by this lion. And people are like, you're crazy. Like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm never going to drive a car because I might get in an accident, or I'm never going to whatever. It's like, yeah, you could live your life that way and you just won't do anything and you'll be completely, you know, unproductive. On the other side, and this is what's crazy and what's convicting to me, it's just as irrational to say, hey, you know what? One more hour of work for me is going to be the thing that makes the difference in that person's life. One more meeting, one more program that we offer for our church. Like, one more thing is going to be like the thing that creates revival across Liberty Church in Central Pennsylvania. I can just get so caught up in, like, we got to do it all well. And we got to, you know, and the lie of my own ability, my own control, like the lie about my limits, even that I've actually got limits that are actually part of what God has put there so that I'm dependent upon him and not dependent upon myself. So there's always this irrationality in fear that comes from these lies that have some of these semblances of truth. Like, you know, like, yes, if you leave your house, there are risks and you might die from the, like, that's true.
Yeah.
And if I work hard, generally speaking, that's going to serve other people better than if I'm lazy. That's like, it's, so there are these truths that get then twisted into these lies that really paralyze us in different kinds of fears in a variety of directions there.
Yeah, I like that. It's just like, I like even how, you know, the trusting in God in there, I cried to the Lord, you know, he heard me from his holy hill. And even like, I lay me down and I slept, for the Lord sustained me. I love how you even just talked about, like, how sleep is also just dependence, a declaration of dependence. And that's like, and just really you kind of hitting on that whole idea that, like, man, sometimes we don't sleep because we're, you know, there's some fears that we're entertaining. We work hard because we sometimes, even work can also be fear working itself out. Sometimes control, sometimes, and all these things. And yet really, and once again, it's also just like the idea of prayer becoming a way in which you voice your fears. Because it's not like he's not admitting that there's issues going on. Still says, many are they that rise up against me. So, yeah, they're there. Yeah. But yet, I just love at least the rest that you see after having, you know. Because, like, how do you sleep when you know that, like, anytime you could get ambushed? We don't think of, but yet, really, just watching at least, like, his poise after that is just amazing. Yeah, man. That's really good.
And that's the kind of thing where, you know, in a home group setting or a regroup setting. I mean, I love that you guys are going to do Gentle and Lowly at regroup this summer. You know, for anybody that's listening from City Church, I would say please join into that. From anybody that's listening that's not from City Church, I'd say grab that book and read it anyway. It's a great book.
Yeah, it totally destroyed me.
Oh, it's so good, man. And it's particularly for those of us that fear things like failure, that fear things like futility, that, like, tend to be people that work really hard and probably have somewhere along the way, whether it's been directly kind of told to us that way or we've just kind of absorbed it, we have a warped view of God, that he is, it his grace like gets us into his kingdom, but then we better work really hard to stay in his kingdom. And like when we mess up, when we sin, man, he is just ready to kind of pounce on us. And like if we've picked up that kind of perception of who God the Father is and who Jesus is and how Jesus responds to our weakness and to our weariness, the lies that fuel the fear that we have that causes that sleeplessness, man, like that will just be a sweet, it'll blow your mind. It'll be a really sweet remedy and antidote to the lies, that the warped perception of God, that we, the lies we believe about God, that man, they do fuel a lot of fear. Like, I know for me, man, it's this fear of, am I doing this the right way? This fear of, am I going to hurt people by the way I try to lead? Am I going to be effective? Is this actually going to be used by God to do something of good faithfulness and fruitfulness? So I just need that, man. I need that. Those fears are fueled by these lies that like somehow God's favor upon me, his demeanor toward me is changed by my performance on any given day.
Yeah, that's good.
And so just sitting in grace and sitting in that's the whole book is based on that Matthew 11 passage about Jesus saying, I am gentle and lowly. Yeah. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
So even that idea of rest, right? Like rest for the heavy laden, rest for the fleeing from their enemies, as David was in Psalm 3, come to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And just seeing that also that, it's actually knowing God that's going to calm and combat most of our fears. Mm-hmm. Just knowing God and knowing Christ, Paul's life is going to really culminate. It's like, I want to know you and the power of resurrection, mm-hmm. but also just mm-hmm. really, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. By the way, one thing I found, oh my gosh, this blew my brains out. I found out that the whole book of Romans has almost like a background, or it uses the Psalms as almost like the foundations, yep.
We kicked off our summer in the Psalms a week ago.
Yeah.
And I did Psalm 19 to kind of kick that off down here, which is all about God's revelation of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And man, like, yeah, you'll see it. Like Paul quotes it in Psalm, he quotes Psalm 19 in Romans 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also sounds a lot like the Romans 1, like where God in his creation, God has revealed himself so that people are without excuse. It's, you start to make that connection. You're like, man, Paul was sitting in the Psalter. He was meditating on some Psalms when he wrote that letter.
That's mind blowing. Anyway, having said that, man, like I just want us to spend just a little bit, like maybe in the last couple of minutes on, just the importance. I think that's what's missing even today, the fact that like when we're so drowning in fear, when we're drowning in all these things, our society says look in. It says, look in. It says, search yourself, find yourself, self-care, this and that and all that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with most of these things, but at the same time, mm-hmm. I'm looking at the psalmist saying, but you, oh Lord, but mm-hmm. you, not but I, but you, I mm-hmm. am in fear, but you, oh Lord, a shield for me, you're my glory, you're lift up on my head,
mm-hmm.
there's just so much right there on that passage, just watching just how he focuses on who is God. And I love how you unpacked every single one of those big pregnant metaphors, mm-hmm. And I just love how you So could you just talk to towards like, man, the importance of knowing God, and as actually maybe even so knowing God for the sake of calling on God as a way of combating our fears and calming and combating our fears. Look beyond kind of deal, like wasn't like, you know, I don't know.
Yep. No, that's right, man. Yeah, I think, it wasn't Larry. It was the other gentleman that was leading liturgy for you guys, leading confession and the assurance of pardon on Sunday.
Yeah.
But he even I thought that fit even really well. We didn't even get to collaborate about that. But he used the A.W. Tozer line of what we think about God is the most important thing about us, which I think fits so well to that. You know, Calvin's famous line is, you know, all of life consists in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self.
Yeah,
that's really the sum of all wisdom, that concept we have in our mind about who God is will certainly impact how we live our lives. You know, anybody from an agnostic person that kind of says like, maybe there's a God, but what difference does it make? Functionally, I'm on my own. Well, that kind of person is not probably going to be saying, arise, O Lord, and come to my aid and scatter the wicked, shatter the teeth in their mouths. He's not going to be saying that. So I think there's just so much to be said for discipleship in the Christian life is over and over again, who is God?
Yeah.
Who has God revealed himself to be? Who has God revealed himself to be, you know, ultimately in Jesus? That's the pinnacle of God's revelation of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And in knowing him, that is the way that I can identify truth from lies, can combat the fear that comes from those lies.
Yeah.
And I get it. I get the impulse, man. We want to keep moving on to like other things. We want to go like, you know, here's the next depth of study and we want to keep diving into this next. And man, like that's where I think books like Dane Ortlund's, unbelievable insights. He mines the depths of scriptures in it. At the same time, it's not novel. It's like, and actually, man, like you read like the Puritan, he's quoting in that book mostly Puritan guys, which we think of Puritans, we think like these cold, stoic kind of people. And you go like, actually, they had a depth of understanding the heart of Christ in a way that like, man, it makes me look like a stoic. It's like that, like they're, you know, these incredible insights are essentially, and I can't remember the passage, man, but like, I love where I think it's one of Paul's letters, but it talks about being stirred up by way of reminder, not stirred up by novelty, which is kind of our bent in like that whole like movement of like go inward, figure out yourself, do something new, try something different. Like that's being stirred up by novelty. That's just like moving on to something else. And the pattern of scripture is be stirred up by way of reminder and of what? Well, of who God is, first and foremost, and just go back over and over again to who God's revealed himself to be.
Yeah, and I love that. It's actually one of my favorite things about the letters of Paul and Peter and just watching Jesus' ministry and watching Moses and all the great ministers. Most of their ministries were actually like, I mean, even Peter is going to say to remind you of this is Peter and Paul are going to say, I'm reminding you this again. Paul is going to say to remind you of this. I think it's in Titus. It's not a burden to me. And it's actually most of our lives have to be literally getting reminded over and over of the truths we have learned, but yet we are so obsessed with the novelty. So you're right when it comes to that. So I think that's,
and there's
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you and I got raft with some other church planter, potential church planters in Central PA. This cohort that we've been doing with Tim Dance down in, you know, from Shrewsbury, and that the book that I like that was really a blessing to me lately on that was we read Delighting in the Trinity. for our session about doctrine. And man, like just even that. So like it's essentially a Christian 101 doctrine. God is three in one, mm-hmm. three persons in one God. The way that that is unpacked in the book, Delighting in the Trinity, man, that stirred me up. I was like, man, this is like, I forget this so fast. I just go back to it lives as a doctrinal truth, you know, but it doesn't stir my affections the way that it's meant to.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking about what that is. And that's where, you know, the Psalms, David, man, he lived out of his heart too, which is a great example to guys like me who live out of my head and hands and not my heart as much. But that, man, that's the kind of thing that find those things that remind you the truth of who God is, but that also teach you how to feel the truth and stir up your affections. And the Psalms do that themselves. And then, man, Paul meditating on him and writing Romans, that'll do it. Michael Reeves, I think, was the guy who wrote Delighting in the Trinity.
Yeah.
You know, that'll do it. Gentle and Lowly, Dane Ortlund, that'll do it. Like these faithful writers, most of course in scripture, but then people that draw from scripture and guys like Ortlund and Reeves, that like, man, they are strengthening themselves in God, mm-hmm. in the reality of who he is.
That's good, man. That is good. Well, Matt, thank you so much for kicking us off into the Psalms, man. And thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
It's really, really kind of blessing to me more than anything. And thank you so much for your labor. And that was really a blessing to us. And looking forward to spending time with you this summer as well in Psalm 73.
Me too, man. Yeah, me too. Yeah, blessings to you guys and all of the City Church family up there. It'd be good to be back up and see you hopefully before too long.
Yes, please. All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. You guys take care.